Lord, come Holy Spirit and speak the truth of thy word. Fill our hearts with thy love and thy joy and thy glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Messiah, passion, and glory. That's really what the Mount of Transfiguration sums up for us. Messiah revealed, passion expressed, looked forward to, and the result of glory. It's an affirmation that Jesus is the Messiah, the only begotten Son of God. It's a prediction of the passion that he would encounter, the journey to the cross. And it's about the promise of his glory, the resurrection and the ascension, and his presence in our lives today. You see, Jesus was in prayer and he found himself enthroned in the heavenly realm on the top of the mount. I've actually been up that mountain. And it's a beautiful, beautiful spot, and you can just see the world surrounding you. And there is just such a power of the presence of the Lord. And I'm not saying that it's the mountain, but it's the people who go, hoping to catch that glimpse once again in a new way. You see, a portal had opened, and two of the most profound heaven's attendants ever came and presented themselves to Jesus. They came to speak with him, they came to prepare him, and they came to encourage him for this new exodus that he would make that would be so profound for the world. Not like the exodus of Moses, which was short-lived until the people fell back into their old ways. Not with the messages of Elijah, which was so often the prediction of the end times and what was coming and the summation of the world and the summation of Israel. The idea that Christ brought something different. And you know, Peter almost missed it. Now, I love Peter. He's impulsive like me. Or I'm impulsive like him, I guess. Always getting into trouble for jumping too quick, perhaps. But Peter, he's so interested in what he's thinking and what he's seeing, and he's missing what's actually taking place, the glorification of Jesus. Seeing the man, no longer the man, but God, who he really was before he came to earth and who he will be again in the ascension. God. Not simply man any longer. This brief glimpse of heavenly glory was given to the disciples to understand who it was they were following. Not a man, but God. So profound. You know, Peter was so fixed on the natural, he was missing the supernatural that was taking place. God is revealing the spirit world to Peter. And Peter wanted to capture it. You know, he probably wished he had a Kodak camera, a Polaroid, something, right? Something that would capture it, and he could hold on to it forever and relive it moment by moment. I think God often does supernatural things in our lives, and we miss it because we're so focused on the physical. We don't take time often enough to simply hear God, to listen to God. You know, it's so powerful because Christ is being revealed in that moment of a new kind of deliverance that's coming to the people. Not a physical deliverance, but a release from bondage. A bondage that could never be chained again to you. A release from the bondage that this world offers. A release to be in heaven and to be eternal, to live in glory as Christ lives in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. For us to enter the family of God. Christ comes to take us to eternity and release us from the bondage of our sin. We are told over and over in Scripture about the miracle of Christ's salvation for us. Salvation is offered in no other person except Jesus Christ. Do we hear that? Do we listen? Can we miss it in the moment? Now, I totally understand Peter wanting to keep the heavenly visitors president. I mean, you know, if we saw Elijah and Moses and it was revealed to us by the hand of God that that's who they were, I think I'd want to catch them. Find out what it is like in heaven. Find out what's going on. Find out all the answers to a million and one questions that I don't have yet. Isn't that frustrating? I mean, I don't know about you, but that's me. I'd want to do that. But we can't freeze frame that moment. We don't get to pause it and play it over and over again. Peter was starting to lose sight of what was taking place, trying to control the situation. I don't know if any of you have issues of control. You know, on occasion I've been told I might. I don't know. But you see, Peter, again, his focus isn't on what God wanted. Preservation of my way, my time, my place. That's really what Peter was doing. I think we often try to take control of situations instead of letting God. You see, without realizing it, Peter is once again attempting to stand in the way of God's plan and God's purpose for Jesus. I don't know about you, but I really think that's a bad place to be. Something not good's going to come from that. Peter wanted to take the matters into his own hands and exert his own will in the situation. Wow. God had to step in so that the impact of the moment would not be lost. As the cloud envelops them, fear comes upon them. There is this awe of what they've stepped into in the presence of God. Something totally unknown is happening. I can't imagine, I can't even understand it, but I have to believe that the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had to be so overwhelming that they were awestruck and in fear. And they were trying to figure out what it was they were supposed to do. And God simply says, "This is my Son, the chosen one." That's Messiah. Listen to him. Now, I want you to understand the words "listen to him" is a command. It's not optional. In the Greek, that's actually a command. It's a correction of this human tendency that we have to substitute our own opinion for divine revelation. I love that. It's so important for us to understand that God has told us we must listen to Jesus, no one else. You see, Jesus alone is the true prophet, is the chosen servant of God, is the Son of God. You know, Moses asked that his people would listen to the new prophet that God would raise up. In Deuteronomy 18:15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen, and you shall listen to him." This would be a prophet that would know God face to face, a prophet that would speak for God to the people, and a prophet that would deliver the people of God. Messiah, passion, glory. You see, finally now God has their attention. And whatever they thought before has fallen away. God puts his full weight behind Jesus. And Jesus, this man that they knew, who'd been speaking to them for a while now, finally has a different presence in their minds. The Son of God. You know, it's interesting to me because God wants so clearly to prepare Jesus in sending Moses and Elijah, perhaps to comfort him, to give him courage, to give him strength, for he was still a man, fully man here on earth, for what would come in the way of the cross, because there's only one way to glory, and it's the way of the cross. It's picking up our cross and following him the way Christ picked up his cross. You see, they were coming down from the mountain and they were going to enter a new phase in this ministry. Jesus set his face to Jerusalem and to what was coming. At the moment of God's pronouncement, the transfiguration ends, and that moment of glory is gone. The shadow, the clouds, all of that departed, and Jesus stands alone, and before him lays the way of the cross. You know, it's interesting because that's a tough message. You know, we all have a sense that we want to sort of have some control in our lives about what's going to take place and what's going to happen, how we can exert influence or do different things. But in the final analysis, it's not about our desires or our will. It's about the submission of them to Jesus Christ. You see, the glory that is Christ's on the way to the cross is ours too. On the other side of Jesus was death and resurrection. And for us, in our baptism is death, and as we leave this life is resurrection. We will transition in the blink of an eye and stand before the throne of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we hear those words, we pray, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." See, that's what Jesus does. He bids us come the same way he has come. He bids us to be witness of his life, his presence in our lives that becomes the witness to others that there's something different about us, something holy, which simply means being set aside for the use of God, right? We are holy. We are set aside from this world to be used of God for the glory of his kingdom. We are called to be bearers of the truth to those who do not yet know Jesus. We are called to be ministers of reconciliation, of love. That what Christ has done in reconciling man to God is now our task, and we pick that up willingly and with joy. And through this we love, and we care, and we help. It is through us that people know that Christ is no longer on the mountaintop, but that he's here, alive, in you and in me, and that through us each day he's reaching out to those in need who need that helping hand. I love our youth at the food bank this week. Wow, we got such amazing reports from the people at the food bank. And it was just a blessing. Is Emmanuel here? He might be downstairs. Emmanuel, so we all know Emmanuel, our giant Emmanuel, who's one of our youth. The head guy who looks after, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, who looks after all the warehouse. Robert, he looks after the warehouse. And I guess he was looking for a helping hand. He went to Emmanuel. He said, could you give me a hand? Emmanuel jumped up, went right to him, said, "Yes, sir, what can I do?" Now, doesn't that make you feel good? I don't know, it made me feel good. That Emmanuel understands his role in this world is to help, is to serve, is to be there when someone else calls. That's true of all of us. We may not be on the mountain right now, but in the midst of the valley, Christ is in us and walks with us. We know him as our Lord and Savior. We know him and that we will see him in glory. And we need not fear when we leave this life. It will be so quick and so instant. I love that. I've shared this before, but when my mom was dying, one of the most beautiful moments I had with her was Lawrence and I spent her final Christmas day with her and took her for lunch and took her for dinner, and we did all sorts of things. It was wonderful. And while we were having a meal, she says, "Bonnie, I have a question for you." And of course, you know, as a daughter, that really frightened me, right? Yeah, I just hate to have the wrong answer for your mom, right? She's in her 90s. You want to make sure you got it right. "I have a question for you." I said, "Sure, Mom. Whatever, ask." She said, "Who do you think's going to be there to meet me?" And I looked at her and I said, well, you know, Jesus, obviously. But I said, you know, Mom, you're pretty special. I have a feeling the entire family's coming out for you. And, you know, she started laughing and she looked at me and this twinkle was in her eye. And she said, I think so too. She had this glimpse of who would be waiting for her. Isn't that amazing? Such faith, such glory. That transition. Ah, home. And she knew. She said, yeah, I'm going home. I just want you to know I'm going home soon. And I said, okay, Mom, I understand. How beautiful that was, that moment. I hang on to it for all I'm worth. You see, I want you to listen just for a minute. Just close your eyes and just picture yourself on the top of your favorite mountain. Eyes closed, hands open, listening for God. Lord, if I could just listen to you more clearly, would that help me spend more time in scripture or prayer or worship? More times and more opportunities to help those in need. Lord, help me to hear your voice. Lord, you spoke to your disciples long ago and you said, listen. Father, you said, listen to your beloved son because he knows how to help us do this. Lord, Father God, I ask you today, speak here. Uplift your Holy Spirit in our lives that we may truly listen for what your plans are for us. And help us to lay down all that is not of you. Let us lay it before your altar of grace and mercy and love. And let us move forward to the mission and ministry that you've given each of us, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you for this moment where you are present and where you are speaking.